As I said, I don't know everybody here this morning, but I'd like to share my testimony with you, how I got saved. When we was going through the Lord's Supper this morning and remembering the cross and remembering what Jesus did for us and the price he paid on Calvary is the most central part of my life. And I'll tell you for why. Because I brought up in a gypsy family. We were at a type of religion. I was christened a Catholic as a child. We didn't practice Catholicism because I didn't really understand it. And we never went to church, probably weddings, funerals, things like that. That was the only time. And when I can remember going as a child in these churches and looking at them and realising that you had to be quiet, it seemed like really it was death more than life. And I got to the age of 29 years old. I'm 51 now. I was 29 when I gave my life to the Lord. And I had heard of about born-again Christians. Some of my family had got saved. My brother Mark got saved first. And he came and he was really Bible-bashing us. And he was telling us that we was lost in sin. And because I didn't lead the life he led, because when, at the time he was 15, he was up for attempted murder and he lived a really... a life of crime, really. Lots of problems, lots of troubles to my father and mother and to himself. So when he come talking to me about Jesus and talking about the gospel, I was thinking on the terms that, well, you need it, but I don't. Have you ever witnessed to anybody like that? Because people think they're perfect. Think they're not sinners. That's the problem. But it wasn't until the point I'd heard the gospel, then after that we went to a meeting and different things and Sue got saved. And I still didn't give my life to the Lord there and then. But one day I was reading the scripture, because I believe that God calls people a long time before they give their life to the Lord.
Yeah.
I believe that. I believe that God will speak to you through his spirit. I believe he will show you things. Loads of things to bring you to Christ.
Amen.
Sometimes we ignore them and we discontinue with our life, but we can't really ignore it because God is continually calling to the point that you, in your life, that you're going to have to make a decision. And I got to that point. I got to the point that I had to make a decision, but it was different than I've ever really could have imagined, because there was a scripture read and this scripture said, no greater love than this, that he gave his life for his friends. And at that point of scripture, when that scripture was read, I had a vision of Christ on the cross. I understood and I realized that Jesus shed his blood and that for the world. I understood that, but I didn't realize how personal it was. I didn't realize that if I would have been the only person in the world, Christ would have given his life for me. That's really what personal saviour means. At that point, I broke down at this scripture and I saw this vision of Christ and I saw the suffering and the anguish and the punishment he went through for my sin. And I said, Lord, I'm sorry, I don't understand, I'm just a sinful man. That was my words. Forgive me. I had a visual. I don't know if I was awake or I don't know what it was, but I had a vision of the cross. And from that day onward, I've let the Lord down many times. I've backslid in the past. I've come back to the Lord. But the cross is always the central point of my life, because that's the place I met Christ. I met him at Calvary. And I realized that I was a sinner. And my sin started to come into my mind, because I really had no really concept of sin until I saw the cross. And then I realised, and the things that I had done started to come to my life, and that's when I really said, Lord, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry for my sin. And I believe to every Christian, every person who is born again of the Spirit of God, is that God will show us where we were and what we are now. We all have to be lost before we can get saved. I really, really believe this morning that if you're in a Maybe you're backslid this morning, I don't know. Or maybe you're hurting, I don't know what the problem is. I don't know, God knows. But if you would just throw yourself at God's mercy this morning, just throw yourself at His mercy. Because my problem of life was pride. I grew up as a child, as I told you, that I understood we used to use religious speak, really. Good night, God bless, that type of stuff. I thought I was, at the time I had holy water and these beads, you know, what they called rosary beads, and I had all the paraphernalia, but I didn't have Christ.
Yeah.
And immediately when I got saved, them things went out the window. If you still got anything like that, or pictures, or anything to do with that, throw it away. You don't need none of that. Don't be kept held bound by that, because I've known people who've given their life to the Lord and they've still got religious pictures. What's this about? Throw them away. You don't need religious pictures, because you have Christ.
Amen.
I remember, I'll give a little quick short testimony. Sue's father got to give his life to the Lord years ago, Uncle Elman. And he used to have a crucifix around his neck, because whenever you talk about Christ or anything like that, people start to, they go back to their religion. Sometimes they go into a religion, and he had this crucifix around, a gold one, and Christ supposed to be on the cross. And I remember Jackie Boyd come out there with a pair of pliers one day after he gave his life to the Lord. And he took the figure of Christ off the cross, left the cross on his neck. He said, "You don't need that anymore. Jesus is alive.
Amen.
It's not on the cross." And that was a great illustration of the resurrection of Jesus. As I said to you, my life from that day onward, that I'm going to give, changed completely. It wasn't something that was took a long time. I knew immediately. I was working with my brother-in-law at the time, and I was doing some dodgy things. I said to him, "Len," I said, "we was earning good money." I said, "Len, I can't go work with you anymore." "Why is that? We've got this to do, we've got that to do." I said, "I can't do it anymore, because I've given my life to Jesus." Immediately, I changed.
Yeah.
Immediately, God started to sanctify me, started to change my life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Listen, I don't claim for perfection, because I'm one of the biggest sinners here. But Christ is working on my life, day by day. I was going in one direction, and God turned me to another direction. It wasn't always, it wasn't worldly good, because my worldly goods disappeared. All what I had built up on crime and cheating and all other stuff went. I started to eat all them things. They went, "Sell this, sell that, sell this, sell that." It went. But I've never gone hungry since. God's always provided a living for us. He's faithful.
Yeah.
Even when we're not faithful, God's still faithful. I had no education. I'd never been to school in my life. Never went to school one day. I remember going to school with Susie Gill. When she was a little girl, she started school. And I looked in this school and I thought to myself, "I've missed out. I've never had no education." My father taught, he was a pretty educated man. The problem was, is when I was little, we never had no trailer sites. We never had permanent places like that. My dad never stopped on sites at one point of his life. We used to pull around different places. And so there was really any time for school. As soon as you get settled or whatever, you probably was moved on anyway with the police or whatever, and you had to go somewhere else. So I didn't receive an education that way. But it doesn't matter how educated or whether you're educated or not.
That's right.
If you've got a brain, you can learn. God can teach you.
Amen.
Thank God I can read and write and whatever now. But the most important part of my life is Christ. All that doesn't really make a lot of difference. The main thing is Christ, and Christ teaches us by the power of His Spirit, of His will and His way.
Yeah.
That's how you know it's divine. That's how you know it's miraculous. It's a miracle, because He can take somebody who is ignorant completely of Him and turn him into something else and gradually disciple him. So if you don't know Jesus this morning, and you've never experienced salvation, I believe that every person who is saved has a testimony.
Yeah.
Amen.
If you don't have a testimony, then there's something wrong. There is a testimony, however significant it may be that you think it is, or however great it is. I believe the people who's done the most needs the most grace, and understands more about that they're forgiven, as to some person who's probably been trying to be a good person all their life or whatever. But I knew I was a sinner, and I knew I was lost, and I knew I needed a saviour. But we all do, because the Bible says that we're all sinners, and we're all separated from God without Christ. So I don't know if you've come to that point in your life that you understand that or not, but I pray that you do. And if you have, praise God for it.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.